Galatians chapter 4. This is Paul continuing, trying to explain to the Christians who've been baptized in Galatia why they shouldn't return to trying to keep the law of Moses. He says, "The son who will receive his father's inheritance is treated just like a slave while he's young, even though he actually owns everything. While he's still young, there are those who take care of him and manage the affairs until the time set by his father. Likewise, we also were slaves of the dominant spirits of our world before we reached maturity. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law." This is Jesus. So Jesus was made of a woman. So he was created within Mary like any other child. He didn't exist before he was born. And God did this to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might become the children of God. And to show you that you are his children, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." Now, Abba literally means daddy. This is how close we can be to God. And in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy, we read, "What nation is there like Israel that has their God so near to them?" So indeed, we can call God daddy. This is how close we can be to him. "So then, you are no longer slaves, but a son. And since you are as his son, God will give you all that he has prepared for his sons." So all that's true of Jesus becomes true of us. In the past, you were ignorant of the true God. You were simply slaves of those which are not gods. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, that is, it's not so much that we searched for God, but that he is in search for us, how is it that you wish to return to those weak and beggarly elements? Why do you want to become their slaves again? Well, Paul speaks very negatively here about the law of Moses. In Romans, he says the law was holy, just, and good. But here, he's saying that the law of Moses was actually very, very inadequate. He says, "You try to keep special days, months, seasons, and years." That is, they were going back to keeping the Jewish feasts and the Sabbath, etc. "I fear for you, lest all my labor for you be in vain." Because he'd labored, he'd worked to teach them about Jesus. And if they went back to the law of Moses, then that was all in vain. "I urge you, my brothers, be as I am, for I am like you. You've not wronged me in any way. When I first preached the gospel to you, it was through infirmity of the flesh. But even though my physical health condition was a great test to you, you didn't despise me or reject me, but rather you received me as if I were an angel from heaven. You received me as if I were Christ Jesus. You were so joyful. What has now happened? I can say that you would have plucked out your own eyes, if possible, and given them to me. But am I now become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" So often that is true, that you become people's enemy by telling them the truth. "What you're doing is wrong. Don't do that. It's going to end in this," and you become their enemy. And the fact he says, "You would have pulled out your own eyes and given them to me," I wondered if Paul was in fact partly blind. Maybe the glory of the light that he saw when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus damaged his eyesight. Whatever, he was not the great, handsome, charismatic preacher. And he says that, well, you didn't pay attention to that. You accepted my message, and that's why you accepted me as if I were Jesus or an angel. "Those others who want to have you for themselves do not have good intentions." These are these Judaizers, these who crept into the Christian churches trying to bring the Christians out of the church and over back to the synagogue. "All they want to do," Paul says, "is to divide you from me so that they will have some sort of interest in you. That is, so that you're somehow under their control. Now, it is good to be zealously affected for a good thing, and not only when I'm with you, my dear children. Yet again, like a mother who is about to give birth, I feel the same labor pains for you until Christ is formed in you. How I wish I were with you now, so that I could have a different attitude towards you. I fear for you. Let me ask those of you who want to be under the law. Do you not hear what the law says? It says that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman, that was Ishmael by Hagar, and the other, it's Isaac, by a free woman, by Sarah. The son by the slave woman, that's Ishmael, was born in the natural way, according to the flesh. But his son by the free woman, by Sarah, was born through the promise of God. That is, God made her able at a very advanced age to have a baby. And all this is a figure. Those two women, that's Hagar and Sarah, can be understood as representing the two covenants. The one whose children are born into slavery is Hagar, who was a slave, and she represents the covenant that was made at Mount Sinai. That's the law of Moses. Hagar, who represents Mount Sinai in Arabia, is a figure of the present city of Jerusalem, which is in bondage with all its people. But the Jerusalem which is above is free and is the mother of us all. For the scripture says, "Be happy, you who did not have children. Shout and cry with joy, you who never had the pains of childbirth before. For the woman who was desolate will have more children than the woman whose husband never left her." Now you, brethren, are God's children as a result of his promise, just as Isaac was. At that time, the son who was born after the flesh, that's Ishmael, persecuted the son who was born after the spirit. That's Isaac. And so it is now. And you see that in the promise in Eden, that the seed of the serpent would always fight for the seed of the woman. So there will always be tension between believers and unbelievers, because the unbelievers, those after the flesh, will in some way or another always persecute those who show themselves to be true believers. And so what does the scripture say? It says, "Send forth the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not be heir along with the son of the free woman." So then, brothers, we are not the children of a slave woman, but of a free woman. So this is all a bit complicated, but what he's saying is that we are not slaves. We are free. So to go back to the law of Moses is to go back to slavery. And God doesn't want us to be like that. And in any case, we can't keep all the law of Moses. You know, there are no Levites, there's no temple, there's no sanctuary, etc. today anyway. There's no ark, there's no tabernacle. And as the point is elsewhere made, if you keep all the law but break one part of it, then you've broken the whole thing. So it's better not to be under the law, but under grace.